Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Covered in Pet Hair, a boozy show for pet lovers on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with a super dog mom, a dog mom that would do anything for her pets. I will tell you all about her and introduce you as soon as we come back from these messages from our sponsors.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Covered in Pet Hair, everybody, a boozy show for pet lovers on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with a fellow dog mom that is all the things, that does all the things, and she doesn't half-ass anything. This woman goes deep into all the things she does for her pets, and that's why she's my guest today. So let me do a proper intro for her. She is a pet parent, a photographer, a writer, a canine nutritionist. She's a soon-to-be hospice practitioner. She's a craft beer guru, a foodie, a nature lover, a wine drinker like me. She's a coffee aficionado. She is an adrenaline junkie and an adventure seeker. She is an army brat that now lives in DFW area of Texas, another Texan. I'm in El Paso. She is wife to Brian, dog mom to Nucky L. Luna, who is unfortunately living with MCT, which I'm sure we will discuss. She is cat mom to Kira and Cora, whom she made me laugh because she describes Cora as a little neurotic. And I bet we all have a pet or two that is neurotic. She is Bronwyn Farley. She is the founder of Dulcie's Legacy. Welcome, Bronwyn. It's so good to have you on the show.
Thank you so very much.
I'm so excited because I've talked to you online so many times. You are so supportive of me and my friend Jessica of the Pet Parenting Reset. You're always contributing so much great stuff to our lives when we go together on Mondays. And I'm finally like looking at you and seeing you. And I'm really excited that, you know, we're finally getting to talk to each other. Somebody wants to know when you moved to Texas. Did I mess up where you live?
So actually, I'm from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, live in Vermont. Now.
Okay, so she's in Vermont, which makes a lot more sense because I've seen your pictures of snow and I'm like, DFW, Vermont, and that makes a whole lot more sense. So I take it back. She grew up in DFW and she lives in Vermont. Thank you, Lori, for asking that. She is all the things, says Lisa, and she is. And I want to dig into everything that you are in the pet industry as a dog mom, as a cat mom. But before I do that, I want to introduce our drinking game. So if you're new to Covered in Pet Hair, there is a drinking game. So anytime you audience, not me, not Bronwyn, but the audience, anytime you hear this word,
the secret word is Dulcie.
Take a drink of whatever you're enjoying. Bronwyn, you can open your eyes again, but please be over 21 in the U.S. to partake in an alcoholic beverage. Never drink and drive and always drink responsibly. So I saw that you were having a glass of vino today. Tell me about your wine.
So I'm a little bit sad. As all things, I'm very picky with my wine. And usually I have friends that send it to me because I finally fell in love with a very specific wine from upstate New York. It's from the Great Lakes area on the New York side.
It's so good. Oh my gosh.
This is a sad, lonely red wine that I'm having to cope with a lot before because I'm out of mine.
Oh no, I hate when that happens.
It is a mixed proprietary blend, I guess. It's just a mixed red. I like my reds. It's a little on the drier side. I prefer mine a little bit on the sweet. So
It works. It works. Well, I'm a big wine lover, too. And I find that the more I like wine, the more I taste wine, the more picky I become about wine. So I feel you. I feel you. It's like this wine should have been fantastic. It's not hitting the spot, but it's still wine. So, you know, you don't do whites, you said?
No, I'm not going to let it go to waste.
Oh, we never let it go to waste. I mean, if not, if anything, we make a sangria with it, but we can't let it go to waste. Right? No. So I'm actually having a drink in honor of your Dulce. This is a cinnamon Dulce cocktail that I made with Chila or Chila. I don't know how to pronounce the name of the brand, but they have a cinnamon cream, kind of like an horchata or like a cordial. And my husband made this. I gave him the recipe. He executed. It's got whipped cream and a sprinkle of cinnamon. Cheers. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you. Yes. No, it's actually pretty funny because so we moved here in June and our first snow hit right before Halloween. I think we've had 2 days that the snow went completely away, like the grass came back and everything. Today, we got 6 inches on top of the 4 to 5 inches that we already had. My biggest fear, you make that face, but my biggest fear is when it's going to stop. Like, I don't want it to stop.
Oh, no. No, I live in El Paso, Texas. It's like 75 and like a bright blue sky. And that is perfect for me.
So my new office, it's the very front room and it's wall-to-wall windows. And the very back is the forest and the mountain. And it's all covered in snow and the trees. And that's where my deer come. And I just sit here and I watch them. Lisa and all of them give me a hard time and joke that I'm Snow White. I'm the Snow White of the group. Because I'll be out there. I play with my raccoons. They come up and they boop on the window and the glass and they're named. I have Roscoe and Jeremiah. Roscoe's a big boy. The earth is round and so is he. He's massive.
That would be me if I lived in Vermont and it was always snowing because I would do nothing. I would just drink wine and have like garlic bread all day long. That would be what I lived off of. So I would be Roscoe, the round raccoon.
They come in and they visit me and they wait for me and my deer come out and I have like 6 bird feeders and I make sure that 3 of the bird feeders have like the spicy bird seed in it. So my squirrels and chipmunks don't get into it. The birds have something to eat. And then the other 3 have just regular nuts and dried fruit. And of course, being a nutritionist, I make sure that I resource.
You don't do anything half-assed. I can tell right now. I know you enough to know that you're going to do like this tasting menu for the animals in the Vermont forest. And the rest of us are just going to be sitting here like being like, I mean, I hope the birds ate.
So we went in to look at bird seed. And I was like, you know what? Now I want some bird feeders. And the guy was like, oh, yeah, this one's a great one. I picked out one that looked more healthier.
Okay.
And he goes, yeah, but that one's really expensive. And my husband said, don't even try. And in fact, I really do. I think that's the day. So we came home and I have cameras in my house because I watch my dogs and the cats. And we came home and Kira, my black and white tuxedo, is laying on the back of the couch staring up at the curtain rod. And I couldn't figure out what she was obsessing over. She had treed a mouse, a white-footed deer mouse. And so we put Kira up, we put him in we put him in a bag and put him out on the porch. Well, this was when, you know, we have the wraparound deck and the huge garden and everything else going. And my husband accidentally squirted him like 3 hours later with the water hose. And he's like, I think I really heard it because he's limping. He's got one paw up and his eye is closed. And he's got a little bit of blood on his nose.
Oh, no.
That was around August, September. So I did some research because he came home with us. He didn't worry.
Of course he did research. Of course.
So most people that have white-footed deer mouse, they're extremely intelligent, very friendly. Like I can put my hand in there and she'll just live up to her. And most of them get a 20 cubic feet. Math is not my strong game. 20 cubic feet. It's a very small take. Hers is 49. And usually they put like 15 of them in that 20. She just has the one. And I change it up every 3 months. She gets a whole new layout.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Lisa was telling me to ask you about her name is Henry.
Well, it was Henry. And then I realized that Henry liked the hardware to be a Henry.
Yeah, that's a good name. That's a good, strong name for a mouse. I think so. Gives me, it's giving me like, what is it? American Tail vibes. I'm dating myself here. I'm aging with that one. But now that I think about it, I gotta show them. It is a good one. Well, speaking of momming, you momming a mouse and me momming kids who have not seen the classics yet, I want to play a game with you. I always introduce the show with a game just so that we can get warmed up and get to know each other. And this game is called Dog Mom Life. And if you're keen, I just have a few questions about your dog mom life. Are you ready to play?
Sure.
Okay, first question. When did you officially become a dog mom? Was there like a first pet you got? Or a moment that like said, okay, yeah, I'm definitely a dog mom.
I'm 48, I think. I never keep up with my age. When my first adult dog, you know how we have our first adult dog, was a tri-colored border collie.
Ooh.
And her name was Harley. I did agility contest with her and she was just my entire world. When I had my oldest son, that became her child. That was no longer my child, that was her child. She was just the smartest dog. You could ask her to go get the sippy cup, go get the bottle. She would go into the refrigerator for you. She would bring you the diaper bag. She would bring you the remote. She's the best.
It was your first.
I will never eat the Border Collie because of her. And I didn't know about anxiety. I didn't know about separation. Like I could go down the very short driveway, might I add you, and go get the mail. And she'd like rip stuff off the wall at that time.
It's like I was gone for a minute. What is happening?
But she was an awesome girl, very intelligent. She would sit there on the floor, and if the ball rolled and hit you, she wouldn't go get it because she didn't want to touch you. And she got that from making sure that she didn't bump the kids.
Oh, you had a good dog.
She's such a good girl. Like she was my baby.
Oh my gosh, what a good dog. I had a dog that was a little bit of a mom with my first, and we actually were very scared she was gonna hurt him because she like herded him so much when he was like crawling and moving that I had to separate them. So not all dog moms are necessarily great. Dog mom Socks was mediocre at best. Okay, so speaking of dog moms, what is your dog mom name? Do you refer to yourself as like mom, mommy, mama?
Mama.
Me too. I'm mama too. Can you speak about yourself, mama, in the third person when speaking to your dog? Like mama's going to feed you now.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, who does it, right? What is the best part of being a dog mom in your mind? This.
I have never been a little dog person.
Yes.
And she, like, I never knew you could have two heart dogs. And she definitely, she's the baby.
Oh my gosh, she's beautiful.
She is always Velcro to me, you know? This is my favorite part. When we come home, she is always so very happy. She is not an outdoorsy type of dog. She refuses to pee and poop outside. She has a pee pad. We are, no. And when we've gone, she growls and she's telling you to come and we need this cleaned up.
Oh, boy. Oh, she's a diva. She is a diva, that one.
She does. And if she's wanting in my lap, she'll dig at my arm and she'll go, mm-hmm. She's very, very vocal. She can be quite the little witchy girl, too.
Oh, naughty?
Well, she's spicy.
Okay. So what's the worst part about being a dog mom?
Loss.
Losing them?
Yeah, definitely loss. You know, I guess we all kind of get into the role of it is what it is, and we control our lives around them. I have three highly reactive dogs.
Wow.
And so two of them get muzzled, and we do crate and rotate with this one and Nucky now. Yeah, it sucks. You don't want that. Yeah. You don't want that life. But we've been doing it for 3 months, and this is now, you know, it's just kind of a thing, huh? I think that's a thing that we all don't talk about. You know, it's okay to muzzle train. It's okay to have muzzles on. It's okay to crate train. It's okay to have them in a crate and rotate and things like that. My favorite things is to talk about the stuff that nobody talks about.
Yeah. Well, as far as muzzling, I couldn't agree more. My only regret with my Socks, who was the herding babysitter, my biggest regret with her was not muzzling her sooner. Because, like, we didn't enjoy our walks because she was unpredictable. And for, like, 90% of the time, she was perfectly fine. But there was that one time she'll lunge. She did bite somebody, minor bite, but still a bite once. And, like, that should have been, that's when I should have started muzzling her. Not after, you know, my son came. And after, once the risk was higher, then I finally muzzled her. But the risk was always there. So I totally agree with you. I'm a big fan of muzzle training. And I think so many dogs benefit from that. And the community at large benefits from that. Who is easier to mom, dogs or cats?
Cats.
Ooh, how so?
They don't do anything.
Well, I guess they could tear up your house with their nails.
Mine are very easy. Like, I have one. And she's neurotic. And she only loves my husband.
There she is.
And I'm the one that feeds you. No, she lives downstairs. Her and Nucky don't vibe. I don't know when that happened. It's Ooh. Been several years, though. But she became my bathroom cat when we were living on Long Island, which in a very small square, like 600 square foot apartment, my husband was not amused by having a bathroom cat.
As in she lived in the bathroom all the time?
Got it. She wouldn't come out. And so... But that's where she learned how to use the toilet. Like she doesn't use a litter box. She uses the toilet. She's either a British short hair or just this gray Philadelphia cat.
Oh my God.
But it's neurotic and she screams at you when she wants things.
You're describing me, but I'm not from Philadelphia. I'm from Miami. But like basically, like that's basically me. I'm impressed with the skills that you're pets have. Like,
you do it.
Obviously doing something right when your dog literally tells you to pick up after them and your cat uses the toilet. Like, you really are Snow White.
My grandfather would be so proud.
Okay, so last one. How many dogs go to the bathroom with you as a dog mom?
One.
Only one?
Well, two of them, but like at a time, one.
At a time, because they're separated.
Yeah, if Nucky's out, Nucky goes with me. If this one who's constantly like, look at it. It's resting like all the time. She judges constantly.
Oh my God, that's so funny. So I know about Dulcie's legacy, and I apologize for before I finally got the actual pronunciation, I was saying it all Italian-like, Dolce. And now I actually wonder if when I order my cinnamon Dolce lattes at Starbucks, I'm doing it wrong.
No, you're saying it correctly.
Okay.
I have a really inappropriate joke, but I'm not going to say. But yeah, Dulcie was not named by me. We don't all have the same IQ, and it's not that person's fault. So no, Dulcie, what was the question? Dulcie
was one of your heart dogs.
Yes.
And Dulcie's legacy is named for Dulcie. So tell us about Dulcie's legacy. When did you establish it, and what was the inspiration behind it?
So I was already in school when I was in Alamorada in the Keys. That's where we were living. I was already starting to go to school. I was learning about raw feeding. Dulcie had just been diagnosed with LARPAR. And for those that don't know what LARPAR means, it stems from the initials gulp. LARPAR is, there's a little flap in the back of the throat that seizes shut or it seizes open. And we can aspirate. But if it seizes shut, we are suffocating to death.
Mm-hmm.
And he started having anywhere from 5 to 6 episodes a week. And he would sit in my arms and have a seizure and suffocate and urinate and defecate all over himself. And so I started learning about food and inflammation and these type of things, and learned that raw feeding Miami was, you know, less than an hour away. And so, you know, it just became, hi, can I help you? It just kind of, you know, came about. And my mentor was in the UK, absolutely love her. And of course, in the UK, they call it college. We go to college, or it's college. And she was like, yeah, I have a bachelor's from this. And I was like, what? The consummate education? Yes. I started my classes. Ellie, this isn't going to work, baby. I started.
Oh my gosh, she's so cute.
I started my classes and started learning about DIY. And he went from, because I did it wrong, just like everybody else did. I had him on 3 different kibbles. I never did the flea and tick, and I never did the vaccinations. but I had him on two prescription kibbles and one specifically for arthritis because he needed the extra glucosamine and chondroitin. Called the company, asked them how much glucosamine is in this. And I was told that those are guesstimates because there's no true way to put that into a number. And I was like, what? Like, this is why I'm buying the shakes. And that just kind of sent me down the rabbit hole of synthetics. It's one of my biggest pet peeves. And so we went from 5 and 6 episodes to 1 in 6 months. Just wow. From food. That was it. So yeah, DARPAR is one of those that, and you can have the tie back. I mean, a lot has changed since, what, in 5 years? I don't even think that they do the tieback procedure anymore, or they've altered it or something. I don't remember what it was one of my last clients said. But yeah, that's in why I didn't want to do the tieback is because he was such a big swimmer. And if we do the tieback, he could swallow water, aspirate, and that's
her asset is
right. And which, I mean, at that time, it wouldn't matter. We moved back up to New Jersey by November. And so it's not like there's a lot of swimming, you know, in that area, especially where we work, because we were right there on the border of Pennsylvania. But no, we just, you know, I wanted him to be comfortable. So I had no clue what I was doing. I was using cannabis, THC for him to keep him nice and comfortable. Dropped his inflammation through Whole Foods. And that was that. I was still going to school, getting my degree. Had no clue what I was up for.
And what is Dulcie's legacy today?
I didn't think I was going to get emotional. Dulcie's legacy is, in my opinion, the voice for people who love their animals and have no connection or no stability or nobody to lean on during those moments. And that's what I wanted because I didn't have any of that. I wanted somebody to have a support system, whether it was 2 o'clock in the morning or 12 o'clock in the afternoon. I didn't care. 2 o'clock in the morning is when our voices get really, really loud. And, you know, my husband has always been there. I can talk to him at the drop of a hat. He was working and these are my feelings. These are my emotions. And it's just me having that panic attack at 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you how many phone calls I get at that time and I'm okay for it. We go in, we sit and we cry it out in the bathroom or we drink some wine, have a couple shots. Who knows? That's what we do. I've got owners that message me 911. I need help. And I call them up and sometimes it's 5 minutes, sometimes it's 3 hours. It's my babies.
And you work with pet parents that are dealing with what kind of situations with their pet?
If I can't fix it, if it cannot be cured, that goes into my Unity program. I have currently 182 cancer dogs right now. That does not include my neurological. That does not include my cardiac. That does not include my liver and kidney disease.
Wow.
They're just my cancer babies, and they are. They're my entire world. Everybody's always asking me why it is I do what I do, and I truly do think it was penance for not knowing what I needed to know for him. You know, I thought I was going into the vet's office in New Jersey with an osteoarthritis dog, and I didn't. I came out with a terminal dog. And we lost him within 3 weeks.
Oh, no.
I didn't even have time to acclimate. I didn't have time to understand or read about osteosarcoma. His entire shoulder was hollowed out, and it had already metastasized to the lungs.
Oh, no.
He was a heavy-chested boy. And so to remove that plus PT, you know, I still don't know that I would have made. We always question, did we do the right thing? Did we know enough? I still don't think I made the wrong decision, even knowing what I know now, for the simple fact that the physical therapy would have been awful.
Yes.
You know, doing 6 months, if we know that when this is a big one for me too, if you guys get a cancer diagnosis and they give you a 3 to 6 month mark or a 2 to 4 week mark, whatever it is, unless that is the very first veterinarian to have a crystal ball and can see into the future, you don't get to do that. And that is part of my job is to give you your voice back. Mm-mm, no, because I cannot tell you how many of my terminal dogs have gotten weeks, have gotten years with me.
Wow.
So, huh.
That's amazing. Do you work with both dogs and cats? Or since you're a canine nutritionist, you focus mostly on dogs?
Ellie, honey.
Ellie climbs you. I do work with cats. I love cats, I do, but they are so difficult when it comes to food change. I'm not as proficient in cats as I am these guys. And she snorts too, by the way, sorry.
Oh, well, actually, I will say that Jessica on Instagram a little while ago said that cats are tough.
And I love them, but they are. They're very difficult.
And they hide things maybe a lot better than dogs do. And it's probably harder to tell if something's working with them, I would imagine.
Diet is a platform of everything that you do.
Right.
And a lot of people don't understand that cats imprint on their food when they're kids.
Exactly.
So if you get a cat and it's an adult and we're 9 years in and now we have this cancer diagnosis, it's hard for them to change to a whole food diet. I mean, it's doable for some, but I have seen cats that don't want to eat my food. I mean, they would rather unalive themselves than change their diet. And so I'm a control freak. I don't like losing.
It sounds like we have a lot of people saying how wonderful you are. Jenny Morena is saying that you are all that and more, being a support system. Sonia sends you a heart. There's a few people on Instagram who are saying that you're just great. And I know that you are. And I know that you're in the process of becoming a hospice practitioner. We're going to take a break right here. And when we come back, Bronwyn and I are going to dig into the topic of palliative and hospice care for pets, something that many pet parents don't know enough about, but unfortunately, all of us will face. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Oh, sure. It's all fun and games until someone ends up in a cone. That's right. We are animals. Deal with it. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Covered in Pet Hair. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I'm speaking with Bronwyn Farley of Dulcie's Legacy. She's an amazing dog mom with lots to offer dogs and, well, their people. And that brings me to kind of like the second part of the show where I want to dig in more into palliative care for pets and hospice care for pets, because I think it's something we all deal with at some point, but maybe we don't have a name for it because it's not something that has been, until maybe now, kind of referred to in that sense, unless you're in a big city with a big practice that has a, you know, department for that. So with your permission, I'd like to invite you to play a second game called Palliative versus Hospice. And I'm going to give you 1 minute to very, very basically, very, very elementary, explain the difference between palliative care and hospice care, specifically for pets.
Okay.
Do you think you can do that in 1 minute?
I can.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay. So for me, my hospice is a little bit different in terminology. Everything I do is centered around bond-centered palliative care, which means it's a connection that I work off of you and your pet. Hospice for me is a feeling. I don't know what it is, and I have yet to have been wrong. If I say that it's time to put you in hospice, it means I know I'm going to lose you in a week. I have yet to have been wrong in that. Palliative care for me is palliative care. That means we can have surgery. That means that you can have mast cell tumor, have it removed. Mast cell tumor is still there in the body. It just hasn't presented itself to you yet again. That's palliative care. Palliative care means that we will have a quality of life. When we have hospice, that is no longer a quality of life.
All right. That was 53 seconds. Great work. Nice job. And I know you said that you were becoming a hospice practitioner. What does that mean? And is there a certification for that somewhere? How does that work?
It is. And in fact, Lisa, who was one of my clients, in fact, I almost quit after losing one of her girls. She could have been Dulcie's doppelganger. And we just had her 2-year anniversary on Tuesday. Same disease, same cancer, same shoulder. I was angry. Let me tell you what.
Oh, no.
It was like, we caught it early and we lost her to a hemangio bleed out. And so we just celebrated. We didn't celebrate. We just had her 2-year. And understand, when I say celebrate, I look at death and passing a lot different now than most people do. You know, death can be, yes, it's sad and it's heart-wrenching, but it can also be, you know,
quite beautiful thing too, if you look at it that way. But today is also her second pup's, Kayla, anniversary that we lost at a year old. And this is my screaming one.
Oh, hi. I was like, is that your cat or mine? Because mine is locked out of my office.
That is definitely mine. That is my black and white tuxedo who is now screaming for dinner.
So going back to, and I'm so sorry, I got distracted. What was the question that I got on to Lisa?
That you were telling us about, you just not celebrated, in quotes, the passing of her second pup.
What was the question before that?
The question is about the hospice care certificate that you're earning or you're working.
Lisa found this, and she's my co-owner of the Holistic Companion Care Network. She started as a client and began doing what I do. I have been working with hospice and cancer dogs for the past 5 years. Lisa found a certification and put a name to it. I never knew that there was a name for what I do. I just knew that I loved doing it. I just redid my website for Dulcie's Legacy, and there was a quote that I came across that hospice is not a job. It is a way of life. It is something that pulls you from here. And that's what hospice is to me. That's what palliative care, it all for me lumps into one. And so many of my clients, you know, that have conditions like Jenny and Finnick, they've been with me for a couple of years. And one day, yes, he will be in hospice, but it's not today and it won't be next week and it won't be next month. Right now, she's enjoying the moment and she has to stem every day when she needs it. Why I do what I do.
And when it comes to palliative care, when does palliative care start? Is it age? Is it diagnosis? Is it a little bit of nursing?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, oftentimes, and one of the big things is, what did I do wrong? What did I do to make this happen? You guys, I have a 6-year-old pit bull terrier named Luna who has mast cell tumor. She came to me at a year and a half old. Yes, she was a wreck. She had heartworms. She had an ACL injury. She had mastitis and she was uberbred. Gave her an ovary sparing spay and I corrected everything else, including the heartworms, with herbs.
Wow. Well, maybe because she came in as such a wreck. We'll assume that that's why. It's the thumbs down because we don't like sick dogs to come to at 1.5 years old, poor thing.
So she's lived with me and had herbs and support and everything else. And last February, we were diagnosed with mast cell tumor. Now, is that something I did? No, it's not. Yes. She's one, a pit bull terrier. And two, she is a blue and white, that genetic of blue. Those are notorious for mast cell tumors, genetically speaking. So she didn't have one, but she had 3 ticks. She was a rescue. She, I have no clue what happened to her that very first life or very first year of life. She, let's see. So the first year she's an American Pit Bull Terrier and she's blue. I'm just setting all sorts of balloons.
You got balloons. I'm not really sure what the context of the balloons is in this conversation, but we'll take them. We'll take the balloons. I don't even know what platform those are on, to be honest.
I don't either, because I'll be talking with the girls and I'll do like, hey, and like balloons, or I don't know, and I'll try to recreate it and they won't do it.
Well, technology is showing off today. Wow. So Luna, nothing you could have done. Absolutely. She is then, from the day you got that diagnosis, in palliative care.
Yes, that is palliative care.
And what does it look like for her?
So usually I do not have mast cell tumor aspirated. That's a big no-no in my opinion. For the simple fact, there's too much room for human error. And there's a lot of human error. And if there is human error, then it releases into the body where we can't see it or we can't control it as much. A lot of doctors want to go in and remove it. I love Dr. Judy Morgan's. We do not poke and piss cancer off.
Oh, I love that. I haven't heard her say that, but that sounds pretty good to me.
And so I have mast cell tumors removed in very specific locations, in the armpit, in the groin, on the elbow, on the knees, or anywhere near the throat. Mm-hmm. For the simple fact of, we know that mast cell tumor is a collection of histamines. So a really cool little trick about mast cell tumors, you can go give it a couple little squeezes, some pinches, and it'll fluff up and get mad at you. That's the histamine releases. It'll go back down. Wow. But if a dog has it in his or her armpit, every time we stretch out and it comes back, you're rubbing that. Histamines are activated. That's the reason why if it gets bumped, if you pinch it, if you thump it, if you rub it, muscle tumors are going to get angry and irritate, and they'll swell. So those are the reasons why I have those areas removed. Dr. Loudon is our vet. She's absolutely amazing vet. She lives on Long Island. She no longer works there. She's doing other current things right now. But she had me bring Luna in, and we went ahead and decided to remove it. We didn't poke and piss it off or anything like that. Here's the other thing about mast cell tumor. It's kind of like a weed. If you remove one, I guarantee you, you're going to have some more later on.
Oh.
And so that's the reason why I call it palliative care. Luna did great for 2 months. Five more came up.
Oh, no.
Put her on mistletoe therapy. Put her on CBD. Put her on several different, flushed her lymphatic system. And they all went away. No surgery needed. They just all went away. They're small. We caught them early.
Right.
We've supported her immune system. We've detoxed it. We've flushed the lymphatic system. She's, you know, got food therapy that is specific to her body and her needs. And so, yeah, no tumors present anymore. 2 weeks ago, on her rib cage, there's a little bitty fluff of hair that was popping up. And she has another mast cell tumor. It's about the size of a grain of rice. Started her back on her mistletoe therapy because I like to keep the body guessing. And so started her back on her mistletoe therapy, and it's already almost gone.
Wow.
This is a lot.
Mistletoe therapy, because I have to ask. Tell us about that.
So a lot of my clients use Dr. Jasek's mistletoe therapy, and we can use this with humans too. Mistletoe therapy is one of those that it go in, supports the immune system, and it attacks cancer cells. A lot of protocols want to, and I use this terminology a lot, is probably not polite or diplomatic. A lot of veterinarians like to throw the body up against the wall like it's spaghetti and see what sticks. That's not my method. Yes, there's a finish line. Yes, there's an end to all of this. We don't have to rush to it. We can get there slowly and gently. And so that's how I do all of my clients. We will get there. Sometimes it's hard to do nothing at all.
Right.
A lot of clients have a hard time with that. And I understand that we need to move forward. We need to be doing something. And those times that we're not doing anything, push pause and be in their moment, because those are memories you won't get back.
Right.
Mistletoe therapy is just another, and it is an injection that you guys have to do.
Okay.
So understand that that is something. There are several different books on Amazon.
You mentioned something about hospice being a feeling. Tell me, or tell us, about what that feels like, what it is that you feel when you say, I think we've come to that point in this pet's journey.
It sounds so woo, though. It's just this
woo-woo. I love woo-woo. I am here for woo and woo-woo and woo-woo-woo.
I'm not, like, because I can't put it into words. I can't explain it. I can't touch it and manipulate it. I told you I'm a control freak. I can't. And so I'm very uncomfortable with it, but it's never steered me wrong either. And so, yeah, if I tell them, you know, there will come a time that I tell you that it's time for us to have a different conversation. And yes, when I say that, my clients get very upset and we talk about it. And along the way, we've been doing stages. You know, we have celebration photography sessions. We have celebrations, you know, that we do. And these are memories. And I've preached until I'm blue in the face that it's okay to stop time, shut out the world, put the phone down, unless you just camera, you know, if they're sitting there next to you like this, she's got her face tucked into my armpit and she's just curled up and I don't know how she's comfortable. Love this. This is me being in her moment, regardless of what is happening in the rest of the world or around me. This is my moment. I cannot explain what it means to sit there and say that usually. I mean, if we're going to sit there and speak logically about it, our vitals are crashing. We can't keep food down. The quality of life is diminished greatly. You know, those things and that gut feeling, it's okay to say goodbye. So
it is okay to say goodbye. And what have you learned helping people come to that decision? Because I'm sure that they come to you, your clients come to you and say, like, is it too soon? Or after, you know, that Monday morning quarterbacking, did I wait too long? What do you say when they're filled with doubt, either before saying goodbye or just after, filled with guilt? What do you tell them to, that really comes not only from your intellectual understanding, but also of what you've learned in this process?
I had a bonded pair And for those that you don't know what bonded pair, look into it. Bonded pair means that after one leaves us, the second one, if there's a, usually either the health condition pops up or they're closely behind them. I had a bonded pair that I knew I was going to lose within a week of each other. And it did. She declined. He stopped walking. She passed. He stopped eating. Like it was just systematic. When we don't have a quality of life, dogs have four major requirements in life. The first one is going to be their job, their breed, what they do. The second one is sex. Well, the majority of us have removed that out of the equation. Some of us haven't, but some of us have.
Oh, yeah.
The third one is going to be their den, their home where they live. And their fourth one is their food. That is a major part of their life. It's the reason why I don't molest their bowls with a bunch of powders and supplements. Nobody wants to eat that. I don't. I once had somebody tell me dogs don't have taste buds.
What?
So I want them to love their food every single day of whatever time that they have left. Dogs are very prideful animals. They don't want to urinate on themselves. They don't want to defecate on themselves. Plain. And Michelle Allen describes the wind in their ears perfectly. And that ever since I listened to her talk in New Jersey at Dr. Morgan's summit, the wind in their ears, whatever for that dog, the wind in their ears, for the dog that she was speaking about, he couldn't get up and walk anymore, but he loved to go down to the road. And so she put him in a wagon and that was the wind in his ears. Regardless of what it is, as long as we, maybe it is sitting in the car and the window's down and that is their joyful moment. If it is being put into a wagon going on the beach, those are all the wind in their ears. They get to still enjoy it. If it is a dog that can no longer walk and get up and play, then do a snuffle mat. You know, there's still some things, but when all of those things are gone, that's, and we're not regulating the way that my bonded pair, the minute he couldn't regulate his own temperature, that's an issue. So all of those, yeah, those are when you start to feel that feeling and the look in their eyes when they look at you, you know. And so that's the feeling I get. I know it's not scientific. And
no, I think it's really an empowering way of viewing it because it's really no right answer, right? It's a feeling. No. It's you know your pet best. And in your case, you know your client's pets and you know your client and you know their relationship and you can assess it as in, the love is still there, but the quality of life isn't, right? And the love will always be there, but the suffering doesn't have to be. So it's really nice to have somebody that you can actually count on to help you through those decisions like you.
And, you know, going back to the question that you asked earlier also about coming back after the fact, did I make the right decision? You're always going to second guess it. Here I am 5 years later. I still, oh, could I have done that differently? What if I had hinged his leg up? What if I had no, I made the right decision. And we will always, it's human nature to second guess that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a big believer that too soon is always even better than too late. So sometimes I kick myself because I think I could have kept Titan a little bit longer. I never tried the wagon. I didn't try wheels. I didn't do this. But my core, my soul, my knowing of him, I knew he wouldn't want any of those things. So I didn't need to spend $500 on wheels for him to never, ever want to wear them. I kind of already knew he wasn't open to that. And trusting yourself is hard in every aspect of life, especially when it comes to these end of life decisions where you feel so guilty about doing something that really is a gift, but it's not always, it doesn't always feel that way.
No, and it doesn't. You know, and I also have clients that ask me, you know, well, how will I know if it's right? How will I know if it's too soon or if it's too late? And I always tell them, I promise you, I will not let you hold on too tight because at that point, I only have to become their advocate and not yours.
Perfect. I love that so much. That is such a huge gift.
They come to me and they're like, no, I think it's time. I don't have that feeling yet. We're still doing XYZ. Let's take a deep breath and let's see what happens, you know, and we get a couple more months.
Yeah, that's, I mean, invaluable. So tell us, how can my audience learn more about your services and what you do if they're in need of somebody to hold their hand through a diagnosis?
You can find me, of course, on TikTok, and I'm awful at TikTok and Instagram. Dulcie's Legacy. I'm also on Facebook, and you can find me at dulciesLegacy.com. I do want to mention, too, that I have a group of fabulous girls that I have mentored, the CCN Network, and it's the Holistic Companion Care Network. They all do consultations, too. I have moved completely over to hospice and palliative care. Those are my babies, but you can find me over there, and I'm happy to answer cancer questions in hospice and things like that as well.
Wonderful. Well, I have so enjoyed getting to know you and getting to know a part of your soul that is really so beautiful. So I want to propose a toast to you for being my guest. Thank you so much. Here's to you.
It was a blast.
My pleasure. I also want to propose a toast to my executive producer, Mark Winter. Thank you, Mark. He's my executive producer at Pet Life Radio. And to all of you for joining us for these awesome conversations, here's to you. And here's to a life covered in pet hair. Because there's no better way to live. Cheers.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being my guest, and all of you who want to tune in to more episodes of Covered in Pet Hair. You can find them on YouTube, on Pet Life Radio, and all your podcasting platforms. So please check out all of my wonderful guests. I only bring you the best, as is evident by my guest today. So thank you all for tuning in, and I will see you next week on Thursday at 3 p.m. I'm interviewing two fabulous people in the pet industry. They have two separate businesses that are all about raising funds for pets. You're going to love it. So don't miss it next week, 3 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, right here on Facebook, YouTube, and hopefully Instagram if it lets me bring it to you, because it plays hard. It does not play nice. So thanks again, everybody. And thank you again, Bronwyn. I hope to see you again in person at some point in the future. And if you guys have any questions for Bronwyn, I'm sure she'd be happy to stay for a minute and see if anybody has questions. But we have Sonia Rothy, who has some links for us on Facebook. So if you want to join the Companion Care Network group, the Holistic Companion Care Network group, she's shared that. And then she also has shared the Dulcie's Legacy website on Facebook again. So please follow up with Bronwyn. Follow her on all the social media platforms, Dulcie's Legacy. And I will see you next time. Thank you, guys. Have a great afternoon.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.